Hello again, this is Vibe Shift, and this podcast, which is just me, because I have no friends and no one likes me, will be about three things. It will be about the rise of AI, chatbots, the very curious situation with American politics in regards to the looming existential choice of autocracy or civil war starting in late 2024, early 2025, and the state of the novel I'm working on. So if either of those three things is of interest to you, stick around. You're going to have some fun. So the rise of large language models, LLMs, or chatbots, is very interesting in the sense that If taken into consideration relative to the, let's call it the fourth turning of late 2024, early 2025, it is possible that there will be something of a perfect storm. In the sense that just as a lot of people are losing their jobs because of chatbots, we will also have a political crisis on our hands. No, I do not want this to happen. But it's definitely something to think about. And the chatbots are interesting for a number of reasons because there's so much potential. And yet there is a lot of risk involved. And it makes you wonder, are we prepared for how fast things could change in the near future? Now, for me, ostensibly, the solution to the problem is a UBI, universal basic income. But the only way that you would get a universal basic income is if you bribed rich people by saying, well, instead of having an income tax, we'll have a 30% VAT, value add tax. That's the only way you could get a UBI passed, because rich people would be like, haha, suckers. And yet all the people that are laid off because of chatbots would be able to survive. And I am well aware that people believe that in general, new technology causes more jobs to be created than destroyed. My only concern is that if the chatbot revolution happens really fast, that society won't be able to process that transition, and a lot of white collar jobs could simply evaporate overnight. And the only thing that would keep them going is entropy. The thing I keep thinking about is if you were like 18 when the French Revolution started, for approximately the next 20 years of your life, there was chaos. That's a long time. Especially at that point in the world when people didn't live as long in general. And my concern is that if you throw AGI or chatbots into the mix, just as America is having a severe political crisis, that the conditions are there for something spectacular to happen. Now, obviously, the alternate argument would be that it won't be until America sorts out its severe political crisis that the true potential of chatbots will be realized. The same thing happened with TV and World War II. We had to get through World War II before TV could take off. It's just a really curious situation because the conditions are there for something spectacular to happen very fast. Like if Elon Musk was able to figure out how to automate his electric semis, then you have 3 million high-paying blue-collar jobs that evaporate overnight. And then you have the idea that potentially you would have a Neo-Luddite movement that would be born, which would probably be a lot like MAGA, but specifically devoted to controlling and regulating and creating carve-outs for humans when it came to AGI or chatbots. I just don't think that we really are thinking enough about the risks, the economic and political and cultural risks of chatbots, because it's kind of sneaking up on us. We find ourselves not really thinking about, you know, what happens when all of our programming, all of our art is done through essentially a black box. Like, we don't know why it does what it does. It just does it. I just feel a lot of people are being very naive to think that there will be any jobs. I mean, if we have a future like the movie Her, where you have a sentient being doing everything, or beings doing everything, capitalism would say, I mean, the combination of capitalism and the orneriness of the AI that we created could mean that there would be no jobs at all for anybody. And the only way that, like, the only way that you would be able to afford a UBI would be taxing the economic activity of non-human actors. Now, how you would get those non-human actors to agree to be taxed, where that money would come from, I don't know. But I just think that we need to think seriously about how the future is careening towards us at an alarming rate. There are people that are thinking about it. And if I was younger and better educated and had more money, I probably would try to become like an AI ethicist or something. But all I got is a novel. So I just think that, I don't know. It's just a very curious situation, given what's going on. And I just don't think that we are thinking enough about the implications of a future where there are no jobs for humans, especially in the context of the looming crisis that I feel that we are careening towards. I wish I could tell you that I had some sort of thought-provoking interview with someone about this issue, but I do not, because I can't not get anyone to help me with my podcast. Anyway, next. Okay, so the issue of, let's just call it the fourth turning. Even though I know the fourth turning is astrology for dudes, but I am very concerned about what's going to happen to America in late 2024, early 2025, in the context of the passions of the 2024 election. Because as of right now, it seems either Trump wins and there's a real risk that blue states leave the union, or Trump loses and there's a real risk that red states leave the union. Now, obviously, I cannot predict the future. Let me be very clear. I cannot predict the future. I have no idea what's going to happen. But if you just sort of game out the macro trends of now, early 2023, give it a year to marinate, or 18 months to marinate. And if you work on the assumption that the edifice of the Republican Party on a systemic basis has radicalized, I don't see how we make it through late 2024, early 2025 without a severe existential choice of autocracy or civil war. I don't think that we're going to have a civil war. I think ultimately what happens is Trump or someone like Trump wins. About 1 million smug liberals leave the country, and they take their smug 1% podcast with them, and gradually if it's Trump, a very vengeful, radical MAGA administration consolidates power and sets up the conditions for the autocrat, the real autocrat, to take power soon enough. Now, anyone who doesn't think that Trump will try to change the Constitution so he can run again is an idiot. He will try, he probably will, if he becomes president again, he will rant and rant and rant about the need for a Constitutional Commission, ostensibly to balance the budget, but really to sort of pass some sort of enabling acts so he can run for president and be like the eternal president like they have in North Korea. So, I don't know. I will be shocked, amazed, gobsmacked if blues have it in them to balk at bending the knee to autocracy, to MAGA-themed autocracy in late 2024, early 2025. Now, whenever trying to predict the future, the issue is there can be like the God, the hand of God can step in, like with the pandemic. Like how could I possibly have known that a pandemic was going to strike just as Trump was trying to run for re-election, and the dynamic of him being such a idiot would unto itself cause him to lose the election? Who knew? And also, who knew that he was so lazy that he couldn't do just basic autocratic ploys to stay in office? Trump is very lazy and very stupid. Very, very stupid and very, very lazy. And I think the reason why people like me continue to overestimate Trump is we want to ascribe to him great man attributes. And he's not a great man. He's just an avatar. He is a symptom of a broader, more existential problem in American politics, which is there are a lot that, first of all, blues and reds are receding from each other at an alarming rate. And because of income inequality, the cultural differences between the rural and the urban areas of America are growing staggering. And so you have a core 30 to 40% of the electorate that it could be anybody. It could have been anybody. I mean, it could have been James Woods. It could have been Donald Trump. It could have been anybody. Just to sort of be their avatar. Their tip of the spear to stick it to the elites. If you were into like psychohistory, you would say that it was inevitable that as America declined, that someone like Trump would arise. Now, the interesting thing is, in a sense, we're lucky because Trump is such a moron that he's not a great man. He doesn't bend history to his will. He is just a symptom of the problems of American political life. And so that's why he sort of coasts. He may could very well just coast into a second term because history has decided on the macro level that that's what's going to happen. But so it's very possible that Trump could be under multiple indictments for severe big boy crimes and still win the presidency. There are no easy answers, no easy solutions. I cannot predict the future. So I suppose there's some way that somehow Biden or some other Democrat wins the 2024 election and somehow the Republicans, the MAGA Republicans decide that they will not leave the union if they lose, and we punt our problems down the road another 4 years, and maybe during the course of those 4 years, somehow, some way, MAGA recedes, and so we sort of get past that crisis. And my response to that is that, you know, if you look critically at what happened right before the Civil War, had people been really, you know, thinking about it, they would have manumitted, paid emancipation, the slaves in the South, and that unto itself could have prevented a Civil War, and it would have been cheaper. But that's not what was going on. You know, it was just not practical to imagine a scenario where anybody could have gotten the South to even a fair market value for their chattel. They were not going to get rid of slavery. So there are any number of scenarios you can think of where we avoid the existential crisis of autocracy or civil war. And I just don't believe that that's really viable. Something bad's going to happen. I don't know what it is, but something bad's going to happen in late 2024, early 2025. We have to be prepared. And my only suggestion is to figure out what you believe in. That's it. Just figure out what you believe in the real world. What are you willing to suffer for? And that will be the best. That's the best advice I can give you. So there you go. So I am working on the second draft of my novel, and it's going quite well. I've made a significant structural change, and the first half of the second act needs some work. So I am doing that, and I'm going to give myself a few days to cogitate on how exactly I'm going to do it. But I am really pleased with what I've come up with. Things are working out really well. I am where I want to be with this novel. It's just that issue of what they call the fun and games part of a novel, which is the first half of the second act, not quite where it needs to be. And so as such, I am going to rework it. And the reason why that happened was just in the last few days. Well, actually today I, restructured the novel radically. Fixed a lot of problems, but caused one problem, which is that the most important part of the novel now is kind of meh. And so I need to hunker down and cogitate on how to improve it. I am still on track to hand the novel over to beta readers by early summer of this year. I'm trying to give myself some accountability by writing a blog post every day about the state of the novel at TrumpLandingReport.com. That's been very beneficial. But I'm going to try over the course of this weekend to read a lot and sort of chill out. I've found that allowing myself to chill out for a day or two, a few days, 2 or 3 days, really aids in making the novel much better. Because if I run hot, then I burn out and I just don't generate as good as copy. So, this story is like really good, but I'm starting to feel some existential dread, because once I start to start the beta reader process, its success is kind of out of my hands, because I'm going to have to get somebody to read. Like, I'm going to have to read other people's novels, and I'm going to have to read my novels, so that when I start querying, which at this point probably will be as late as early 2024, the novel will be as good as possible. So I have, I'm excited, but yet full of dread, because I don't have any idea what I'm doing. I want to make a lot of mistakes. And even if I stick the landing, I could be in my mid-50s by the time I'm a published author. Not something I ever imagined. I want to be a published novel now. Published novelist now. Not when I'm in my mid-50s. Not cool, fate. Anyway, no one's listening, no one cares. But had I had the foresight, I would have also trying to do a podcast every day to give myself some accountability, but I'm doing a blog posts instead. Anyway, thanks for listening. So that's Vibe Shift for this episode. And as always, I wish someone would take pity on me and be my co-host, and also I would need guests, because I know I could do a really good job with a podcast, but maybe when I'm a successful published novelist, someone will help me do a podcast. But as it stands, it's all me. I'm all by myself. Hope you're doing well, guys. Good luck.